I'm going to preach 1 Peter 3:15 today. Sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts. And I've preached several times about holiness or sanctity. Sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. And I've preached several times about holiness, about sanctity. That's setting apart something or someone for the use by God. God said in the Old Testament, it was Deuteronomy 10, he says, be holy, for I'm holy. You be set apart. You be useful. You give glory to your maker because I'm sanctified. I give you my sanctification. That's what we get by faith. Nothing that we do actually sanctifies us. God does it. It's God's Spirit. We have faith, and then God's Spirit sanctifies us, makes us separate from common and ugly things, from sin, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul cautions the church there against a fleshly boasting. They're boasting about, well, they have gifts, and we have gifts, and all this kind of stuff, typical immature stuff. 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, it is due to him, that's God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God as well as righteousness. This is Christ, wisdom from God as well as righteousness, sanctification, redemption, so that it is written, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. In other words, we're sanctified, we're set apart because he's sanctified. He's our sanctification. You're not good because you come to church. You're good because you have Christ in your hearts. See? You're good because you have faith. And when you have faith, you get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will get you away from ugly things. If you're watching horror movies, the Holy Spirit will say, you shouldn't be watching this horror movie. Okay? He'll rise up in us. Right? But then we watch anyway, right? See, that's the way it goes. We want to separate from ugly things, right? We want to offer everything. And the idea of sanctification and sacrifice are very similar. We said sacrifice in Hebrew means korban. That means to put something close to God. When we put an object or a person or whatever, we sacrifice something, an animal, we're saying this animal gets close to God, so I'll get close to God. We just don't have objects that are sanctified. We have holy objects or blessed things because we want to be sanctified. We want to be close. So we draw near in sacrifice and we get closer to God and therefore we become sanctified. All right? If you listen to Romans 12:1, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship or your faith worship, okay? Spiritually, you can think of anything you want, but it's got to be the Holy Spirit. I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Come close to God with me in faith. That's what God's saying. And he will make everything about you. If he can make your body holy, guess what? He can make anything holy, right? Amen. Right? Now, when we come with our bread and wine and our first fruits into church, or we come with our faith, we come with our praise, we come with ready to serve, or some of us come ready to serve, all these become holy things, set apart things, right? Sanctified things. And we offer them to God, and they become holy. Everything we do in this church is meant to be holy. Right? A church is a set-apart place, a sanctified place. Right? Now, when people come in here and they want to fuss and fight, I say, well, you go out in the street and do that. You have no right to come in and pester me or harass me or threaten me because I'm the one running the church. You can't bring ugly things, you can't bring unsanctified behavior, unsanctified things into a sanctified place. That's the way it is, right? We want to come here and be different from the world. Anybody can be the same as the world, anybody. But Christians are different. We're bought at a great price. We're sanctified. We're living offerings to God. And we're close to Him. So we don't act that way. We just don't say we don't act that way. We don't act that way because we have the Holy Spirit in us that separates us from ugly stuff. If you really want ugly stuff, then you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Has anyone figured that out? If you really want ugly, nasty stuff all the time, guess what? You don't have the faith to get the Holy Spirit in you to sanctify and separate you. And your religion, your faith is just about words. There's realities behind the words we say in church. Okay, so when Peter says, sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts, when he says, sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts, we know what that means. We know it means set aside Jesus in your own personal temple. Set aside him, make a place for him, a hallowed place, a separate place. Build him an altar there. You know, some of our churches in the old days, they're all so small. You know, people got bigger. You know, people like got bigger in the last 40 years. You know what? I mean, dang, I wasn't in on that. But you know, these little kids, all they do is sit there, drink the water, and they're like 10 feet tall. I drank the water. But you know, we can't have these little churches because we all feel like cramped in. And you can't see, you can't hear, you can't think. You can't receive anything. Because we're all cramped up. It's the same way with our heart. We got to have space for them. We got to have big, ample churches with ample hearts. Sanctuary. We come into a sanctuary. It should be a place where there's space, where God can move. Not this little cramped up stuff. If you move the thing that they put there 6 years ago, someone comes and knocks on their door and says, you move this. You've been in churches like that. It's the same way with our hearts. They're so crammed up with secondary stuff. We don't have any space for God. Oh, man. Ooh, I'm preaching hard now. Sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. Make a place for him where sin and death and noise and your own flesh and all the garbage of this world can't get. Right? He wants to be Lord of your heart, of your inner man. Well, your heart represents your mind, your body, your emotions, everything about you. It's your inner man, right? Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time, I don't even know my own heart, right? How can we sanctify our hearts for Christ if we don't even know our own heart? Well, most of the time, we don't know our own heart. So what if Jesus is going to be Lord of your heart? Guess what? He knows your heart. He'll tell you what to do. I get mad sometimes because he keeps telling me what to do. But he's there. Listen to this. Jeremiah 17:9, more tortuous than all else is the human heart. Who can understand it? The Lord of your heart can understand it. If you have that inner space for him, he'll be talking to you. He'll tell you who to love. He'll tell you what he wants. He'll tell you who to call. He'll tell you who you love. He'll tell you who loves you. And then you'll have this big old inner man, inner woman. You'll have a space for him. Sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. This is the best scripture I know for what other Christians say. I accepted Jesus as Lord of my heart. This is it right here. Sanctify Jesus as Lord of your hearts. Okay, let's say it. I give you my heart, Jesus. I give you its whole space. You are Lord in my heart. And I'm going to follow what you tell me to do. All right, now I'm saved. Oh, man, that's good. All right, cool. All right. Amen. I accepted Jesus as the Lord of my heart. They're saying, I made him the center of my life. I made a place for him in the center of my life, not just on Sunday. You're not holy because you come to church. You're holy because you have faith that separates you from ugliness and sin. And when you come here, you get Jesus, so Jesus gets bigger in you. All right? And Peter is telling the little struggling Christian communities in Asia Minor and Pontus and Bithynia and a couple of old names that you and I don't remember. He's saying, look, if you have so much of God in you, all the lies and the gossip of the Roman Empire and the jobs that they're stealing from you and the petty harassment and the misunderstandings and all the lies that are being said about you, you'll be able to answer all that with something in you. Something comes out of your heart. You'll have a reason for your hope. You lied to me, yet you do this and that. I still give you the gospel. I still have a reason for my hope. I still lay it out for you. Right? If you're going to suffer for doing good, right? You might as well have Christ in you, because that's the only strength you're going to have to get through it. Right? People are saying, well, you don't party with us no more. Right? You won't go by the empire's rules. You won't bow to Caesar. But Peter says you can withstand all that stuff because you have Jesus in your heart as Lord there. Not Caesar in your heart. You got Jesus as Lord there. All right. The principle of God setting aside things is so important. He sets aside people and things and making them holy. Now, this principle of setting aside and making holy things and people, it applies to everything in our life. It applies to our relationships. It applies to our work. It applies to our thought life. It applies to our time. It applies to what we do. Might as well got to sanctify our tongues. You got to set aside your tongue for the glory of God. It's going to cost some people something, right? Everything. We learned that 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. All things are of God, meaning everything can be a sanctified sacrificial offering for the use of God that brings us closer to God. Everything. Our body, our mind, our spirit, our tongue, whatever it is, right, can be sanctified. Our time, our relationship. I want to preach a little bit about relationships now. You know, we take each other for granted in the church. As a priest, we're just like a functionary. We're a cop that has a different uniform in many people's mind. Okay, no big deal. But we all need relationships, right? We take each other for granted, and we pay attention to each other only when we think we're going to lose that person. Oh, that's good. Come on, admit it. You women out there, sometimes they only call you, only pay attention to you when they think that they're going to lose you. Amen. Pecking order stuff. Right. Meanwhile, you're sitting there languishing in the desert. Come on. We take things for granted. We take people for granted. We take that fellowship time, that building up time, right? That's not right. Because that can be holy time, right? Hebrews 13:1, the Hebrews are a bunch of, we think, ex-priests or ex-temple priests who lost the beautiful sacrifices of the Jerusalem temple. Right? And they're all like lastimado. They're all sad because we don't have this big old cult and we don't have this big old temple, and they were feeling sorry for themselves. And you know what? People who feel sorry for themselves, what do? They don't love at all. People who feel sorry for themselves, they're always sad and complaining. You better have a big old relationship with a vegetable than with someone who feel sorry for themselves. Come on. So Hebrews, I don't want to hear it, man. Hebrews 13:1, he's telling them, whoever wrote this, we don't know who wrote it, he's saying, let the mutual love continue. Let the mutual love continue. Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. Did Jesus just love people on payday? Did Jesus just love people when he was liquored up or something like that? Did he love them when he was, whatever mood we're in, it's a choice. Let mutual love continue. You know, like, I don't want to have people over my house. But he says, do not neglect hospitality. You see, it's a choice to keep loving, like, love one another as I have loved you. You know, not just when everything's going good. All right. These Hebrews, they felt like they had lost a shilling and found 6 pence. And I always love to say, D.H. Lawrence said, you feminists out there, okay, I'm going to get people mad. You always look like you lost a shilling and found 6 pence. Like you lost $100,000 and you found a $10 bill on the way out of church. You feel like somebody owes you something. Nobody owes you. Jesus, the Hebrews, you got it all, man. You got the final priest. You got the great high priest. You got Melchizedek. He was the priest before there were priests. You got God himself in the flesh. You're treated better than angels. Why are you all like sucking your thumb all the time? Right? Nobody gets to suck their thumb in church except the little ones, all right? Under 5. Right? Let mutual love continue. That can be a blessing. It can be an offering to God, right? All right. Why don't we make time for people? The principle is the same. We offer our money, our offerings, or whatever. Why don't we offer our time for God? You know? It builds us up, doesn't it? You know, I like to work. I used to be a workaholic. Well, this is my testimony. You can quote this one. I used to be a workaholic. I'm no longer a workaholic. Because why? Because mutual love is more productive in the Holy Ghost than work, work, work. How many of you know that already in your life? Learn this principle. Relationships and mutual love is more important. It's more well-spent time, sanctified time, than work is. We pray without ceasing, and work is important, and I pray when I work. But you know what? Relationships and mutual love are 10 times as important in my life than work. I know how to work in my sleep. Most of us guys, that's all we know, right? Work, work, work. More credit, more money, more credit, more bills, right? Because you don't see it as a sanctification. Your time is that's one of the best investments we all have, right? And it takes time to love on people. Now, how about this? You go, like, to people's houses. Okay, well, I'll give you the scripture. You think I'm talking off the top of my head. I'm not. Ephesians 5:16. Redeem the time. Make the best of the present age because it is evil. Some say, redeem this evil age that you're in. Redeem the time. Well, I thought Christ redeems everything. No, by your choices, how you use your time, you redeem the time. You notice how time for one person is totally different than for another? Totally different. Because one person redeems it and uses it wisely for the glory of God as a sanctification, as an offering, and another person wastes it. Right? You go to people's houses, the television is always on. Right? It's blaring. Wasting time. I like football, I like baseball, I like hockey, I like boxing. A couple of hours, 6, 10, 12 hours, come off it. Your wife is going to lose it. That's wasting time. Unless you're a coach. Unless you're a coach. Okay. Okay, internet games, Game Boys. Men are into these Game Boys now. What in God's name are you doing with your time? Playing on the computer. That's not redeeming the time. You're going to get in danger there. That's danger, danger, Will Rogers. Right? How about gambling trips? People run to Vegas, man, 20 hours in the car, spend $2,000, race with the truckers. They never get no $2,000 here. A waste of time. How about that woman who was supposed to get married in Georgia? And she freaked out because she had 1,600 guests or something. She got on a Greyhound bus and she went to Vegas to gamble. What a waste of time. Oh, man. And now what's popular? Poker. Young people are learning how to gamble. Oh, they can't get to the casino. They got to gamble at home. You think your wife's going to put up with that? Oh, we're just drinking and gambling for 10 hours on Saturday. There's a good spending of our time. We really redeemed that time, didn't we? right? It's getting quiet in here, huh? The threats are coming. Write those letters, man. Take a number. Take a number, right? All right. You don't have time. No, we let time slip away from us. We don't make it an offering. We don't make it holy. Okay, relationships require time. How about this? Not quick phone calls. Like some people, they call you and you think you've been mugged, right? They like steal your gossip. They steal, like, what happened? Who loved on you? Who didn't love on you? Who's hating you right now? They steal it from you. And then they hang right up. You feel like you've been mugged, right? Oh, I don't have time to talk any longer. Or they say this, like they call you just to dump all their problems on you. Their deep-seated psychological problems. Go get some counseling, right? And then they tell you all those things about their childhood, this and that and everything, and all in a minute. And then they say, have a nice day, Father. I don't have time to talk to you anymore. Redeem the time, man. Get a good schedule going. Or then there's this one. Or they call just to criticize you, like to make themselves feel better about themselves so they feel better than you. Why did you call me? You're wasting my time. You're wasting your own time with that, like, oh, we're really friends. No, we're not, right? No, we're not. The devil has so many church people. We're all distracted and running around like chickens with our heads cut off. He steals the time from us, and he makes us feel so cocky about work and this and that and having an extra $10, right? We should set aside more time for the things that matter, man, for faith, for love, for relationships, for all the good stuff that's out there to do. All right. You know what the holiest time for me is? You probably could figure this out. It's when I'm not doing anything. I'm much less dangerous. When I'm napping. That's holy time. Because I have my own plans for the day. And I'm work, work, work. But then when I stop working, that's set aside time. Me and God can talk. Or God can talk to me. He can tell me what to do. He can tell me what to preach. He can tell me who to call. He can tell me who to love. He can tell me what I should do. Man, that's holy time. He's got a big space in my heart at that time because I don't have my own little agenda at that time. Isn't that true? Do nothing time. How many of you have do nothing time? Like some people, they used to say, well, I'm just puttering around the house. No one even says that anymore, do they? Because they're so busy. They're on the run. They've got six different schedules to follow. And they don't hear from God. If you don't have a big God, you don't hear from him, you're not going to have that sanctified time. Your life's going to be too distracted. It's going to be too over the top. It's going to be too much like what we see every day of our lives. Okay. That's my message. Make a holy place for Jesus in your heart today. Make room for the Jesus that you trust. Make room for your Lord there. Our hearts are so crowded. They're so badly nourished. They got the blocked arteries of distraction and foolishness and anger. We're so full of ourselves. We're so full of the principles of the world and so lacking in the principles of God. He belongs here. He belongs in our heart. But he's a perfect guest. He's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force himself where he's not welcome. If you can have your heart as big as the day is long, but if you don't want Christ there, it's filled with someone or something else. Anything can be sanctified. That's another principle. Anything can be sanctified. But sin, anything but sin can be sanctified. My body, my relationships, my heart, my words, my tongue, my time, everything sacrificed, offered, set apart, used by God for his glory, for my freedom and his glory. So we choose to sanctify you in our hearts today. And to that, God's people say, amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In fulfillment of the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Oh, Lord, just teach us how big you are, Lord, in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, and everything that we do, that we just have made you small, Lord, and we just repent of that. We repent of this faith, this powerless God that we've made you, this God that we just hemmed in and put in a box and run off, Lord. We just want you to reign over us. There's nothing that you won't do for us. There's nothing you won't get into. There's no advice that we need that you won't give. Oh, that we just see that you're everywhere, Lord. You're out there in creation. You're out there in our workplaces. You're out there in our families. And you have.